what happened about the arm, so I won't. So just don't ask, she says. Once again, a moment's prayer. Father, thank you that you have come to us in Jesus, where we find grace and truth. So we pray as we hear your word written, we might meet the living word by your Spirit. Amen. Someone came across three builders who were working. They were stonemasons, so they were chipping pieces off big blocks of stone. And the first didn't seem very happy, chipping away but looking at his watch all the time. When they asked him what he was doing, he said, "Well, I'm hammering this stupid rock. I can't wait till 5 o'clock when I get to go home." The second mason seemed a bit more cheerful, a bit more interested in his work. So when they asked him what he was doing, he said, "Oh, I'm building this fantastic wall here. Can't you see it? I'm working together. It's not a bad job. I'll be glad when it's done." The third mason, who was hammering away at his block fervently, taking back and looking at how it was going, admiring his work, he chipped off pieces to do the best possible job that he could do until he was satisfied. And when he was asked about what was going on, he said, "Well," he stopped and he looked skyward and said, "I'm building a cathedral, and it will stand here for 1,000 years, and it will inspire children and women and men with a vision of God that will thrill them." So three people doing the same job, but a very different attitude. The story illustrates the power of purpose to transform what we do and how we do it. And that's the essential truth that we find at the very heart of Ephesians. If you've got the Bibles, it's always helpful to have them in front of you when we look together. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. If I was going to try and sum up the message of this part of Ephesians, it would be, see it big, but work it out small. See it big, but work it out small. Because like the stonemasons that I talked about in that story, we can deal with the stuff of life in different ways. All sorts of things. We can be three different people can deal with the same stuff in very different ways. The most life-enhancing way, the most joyful way, and arguably the most Christian way, is to be like that stonemason, the third stonemason, to say, "Well, I see it big, but I work it out small." Catch the vision of what God is doing and then see how our part of it, through his people, will contribute to that vision, and how that vision will determine our attitude to what we do. So see it big, but work it out small. And that tension has to be in our mind as we think about God, the church, the world, and ourselves. Because the verses from Ephesians there in chapter 1, they deal with the big picture, the biggest picture there is. God's ultimate purpose for the universe. Doesn't get much bigger than that. Verse 10, God's plan for all creation. To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. The point of it all is to be summed up in Christ. I like how the Message version paraphrased. It's not a translation, it's a paraphrase, but it catches a good sense of it. A long-range plan in which everything will be brought together and summed up in Christ. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth, it's in Christ that we found out who we are and what we are living for. There's the huge canvas of God's ultimate purpose for the whole of his creation. There is no bigger vision possible. But we need to hold that intention with the detailed business of our lives. Verses 12 and 14 have that lovely phrase, "so we might be for the praise of his glory," to the praise of his glory. And it's talking about how we live. Because as the six chapters of Ephesians unfold, we range from heaven and earth and back again. We get this great vision of God's ultimate purpose. And we also get detailed instructions about how we live. wives and husbands, husbands, wives, children, parents, slaves, masters, about how we spend our time, our money, about how we fit together as a church community, our gifts. So all of this, at work, at home, at play, what we say and how we do things and how we spend our money, how we do all this, astonishingly, they're caught up in God's eternal plan. See it big and work it out small. We need to keep those two ways of looking at life together. We have to see it big, otherwise you just miss the point of it all. Life does become just that proverbial one darn thing after another. But we have to work it out small, otherwise, well, faith is ultimately just irrelevant as a self-indulgent escapism. We have to see it big and we have to work it out small. I mean, I always think of this bifocal reading of Ephesians whenever I'm enjoying a good movie, because good movie directors always do that kind of thing. You know, the big establishing shot, some breathtaking landscape, and then it'll zoom in on some domestic detail. My particular favorite, as many of you know, is the Lord of the Rings films that Peter Jackson made. And I'm sure he wasn't sponsored by the New Zealand Tourist Board, but he should have been. Because you get these sweeping mountaintop shots, you know, over the great landscape of New Zealand, traveling along the mountains, suddenly it'll swoop down into some intimate scene of friendship or cooking or relationships. Choices made for good or evil. And it's the two together that gives the power. The same with us. The combination of seeing it big and working it out small that really empowers us to serve God. Well, these first 14 verses of Ephesians chapter 1, they address three questions that affect all of us, whether we're aware of it or not. Who are we? Identity. Why are we here? Purpose. And where are we going? Destiny. Good questions to think about at a new year. Who are we? Our identity. Why are we here? Our purpose. And where are we going? Our destiny. And if we can't answer those questions, we will at best drift through life, kind of doing our thing, or at worst, we'll end up shipwrecked. If we can't answer those questions about who we are and why we're here and where we're going, we're going to end up with some kind of I call it a donut life. The picture is like a ring donut. You know, the kind of, was it Homer Simpson eats? You know, they got the pastry with a hole in the middle. And that's what life can be like. We don't answer those questions about who we are and what we're here for and where we're going. You've got all this stuff, but there's a hole in the middle. There's just nothing there. And in today's culture, we all too often see the consequence of living a life that is a donut life, where there's something missing at the very center. Who we are, identity, where we're going, destiny, why are we here, purpose. Ephesians 1 gives us positive answers to all those three vital questions. First, who we are in Christ. If you just listen out for how often we get the phrase in Christ or in him, 7 times in those verses we read today, we are people who in Christ are blessed by God. It's in him. Irrespective of our circumstances, our situation, our possessions, we are those whom God is blessing. Verse 3, bit of a play on the word for blessing. Praise be, or literally be, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Heavenly realms here, not so much some distant otherworldly dimension, but rather the invisible spiritual realities that make up our life. Every one of us in Christ is blessed immensely, beyond our wildest imaginings. However good you can think it is, it's better than that. Now, some days when we wake up on a grey winter's morning, we're thinking, really? Really? This is what blessed looks like? Well, yes. Blessed beyond measure or imagining. Verse 7. In him, that is in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, verse 8, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. The language here is of the riches of grace. The sense here, not just of God somehow grudgingly forgiving, oh well, I suppose I might forgive you, but of love that is poured out more than we could possibly want or need, like the good friend you're having dinner with who, when it comes to dessert and you're trying to be polite, and you say, oh, well, just a little bit. And he knows you really mean, yeah, lots, all of it. That's the grace that is lavished out. When the prodigal comes home, we get a party, not a cold, distant handshake. That's the good news. And to a culture starved of genuine self-esteem, this is fantastic news. Our identity, who we are, is secure and significant in Christ. So we haven't got to look for that security or significance elsewhere. Whether in success, possessions, drink, drugs, sex, success, social media, the next best job or holiday or partner, significance and security is God's gift to us in Christ. And if we live upon what God says, we can hold our head up high. We are somebody. In Christ, we are secure. And nobody can take that away from us. This is who we are. It's our identity. Ephesians expresses the riches of Christ and the identity that we have in him. So that's who we are. We're in Christ. Second question, why are we here? Well, our purpose is to share in God's ultimate purpose, as I mentioned. Every detail of our lives contributes or not to what God is working out through Christ. We live in a world that is torn apart by division at every level, family, church, nations. So by our words and deeds, we can make a difference. We can be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. For example, our unity as a church is a vital and powerful prophetic sign in a divided world. Our generosity to those in need is a countercultural sign of God's kingdom values. I mean, there are many exciting purposes to live for on earth, whether it's peace or justice or environmental concerns. And as Christian people, we want to be involved in probably all those things, or at least some of them. But we are aware that the greatest purpose of all is God's kingdom work that overlaps and exceeds these other excellent things. Because the gospel is not just a way to heaven, it is a way of life for God's kingdom in the here and now. And whatever our situation, this is what we are looking to serve. Not ourselves, but seeking first his kingdom. And every choice we make, every situation we find ourselves in, gets a joyful significance by our desire to seek God's kingdom. Where is God's kingdom way in this situation, rather than our success or convenience in it? We think for a moment about Paul's own example. He is writing Ephesians from a prison cell, it would seem. And those verses 3 to 14, they're generally seen as one outpouring of praise, an unbroken, breathless sentence of pouring out of praise for God's goodness while sitting in a Roman prison. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance till the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Breathe. That outpouring of praise from someone languishing in the confines of a Roman prison sentence. How can he do this? Because he knows who he is in Christ. He knows what his purpose is, even in that situation, to serve the purposes of God. His life is not a donut. In the middle, he knows who he is in Christ, and his purpose is to glorify God, even in that prison. Who are we? Well, our identity is in Christ. Why are we here? Our purpose, to serve God's ultimate purpose, his plan, will, and the kingdom of God. And a final question, where are we headed? Where are we going? Our destiny. There's a great sense running through these verses in Ephesians that God knows what we're about and where we're going. It's expressed in the language of choice and predestination and the pledge and the promise of inheritance. Whatever we experience in this life of God's goodness, we are assured that for the Christian, the best is yet to come. Our destiny is assured in Christ. Whatever we make of that language about God's choice and predestination or foreknowledge, there is assurance that our future does not ultimately depend on us, our wisdom, our commitment. Our future is secure in the unbreakable purposes of God. It's a destiny so good that we can't imagine it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. So imagine the very best future you can conceive of. In God's purposes and plan, it's better than that. That is our destiny with God. A few years back now, when Pat and I were planning to move to France and come to Paris, in fact, I was trying to brush up my schoolboy French. Oh, the joys. So I started listening to the perfect French CDs by Michel Thomas. And if someone had found me there sitting in our living room in the middle of Hong Kong reciting phrases in French, they could have reasonably said, what on earth is going on and why are you doing this? I would have explained that I'm practicing my French because I'm headed for France. So many of our decisions and our choices and how we live as Christians and decide to use our money and our talents for God's kingdom might have people wondering, why on earth are you doing that? Well, it's because we're caught up in God's kingdom. That's where we're headed. That's what makes the difference. That sums up our identity and our purpose and our destiny. So to sum it up, see it big and work it out small. Appreciating our identity and purpose and destinies in Christ gives that center to our lives that we need. There's not a space in the middle. We're not pushed around by the latest fashion or fad or the pressures of life and work. No, there's a weight. You know those little dolls that have like the weight in the bottom, so you knock them over and they bounce up again. That's the person who knows their identity and purpose and destiny in Christ. It gives a life of principle that cuts through so much of what pretends to be worthwhile in our culture today. But knowing who we are and what we're doing and where we're going, Ephesians is the place we can go to that answers those questions. That is, in Christ we find out who we are and who we're living for. It was a few months ago that I read a rather unkind summary in the Times of London about the then UK Prime Minister, Theresa May. Maybe unfair, but they wrote this. Mrs. May was fast-tracked into number 10 at a time of constitutional ferment and urgent social need. Britain wanted a Prime Minister with her grasp of detail, but also a far-sighted vision. See it big and work it out small. Christians understand why we need both those perspectives to live life. Let me pray for us for a moment. Father, we thank you that you are a God who reveals, not conceals, your loving purposes. Thank you that the light of the glory of the gospel has shone forth in Jesus, that your grace has indeed dawned. We pray, Father, you would help us to understand who we are in Jesus, that we would have that security and stability that knowing him in the depth of our lives brings. We pray that we would indeed seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. We pray we'd be people marked out by our obedience and love for you and your kingdom. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.